कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमद् भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनी नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रजारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। अर्जुन उवाच, ज्ञायसी चेत् कर्म नास्ति, मता बुद्धिर्जनार्दन, तत्किं कर्मणि घोरे मां नियोजयसि केशव। व्यामिश्रेणैव वाक्येन बुद्धिं मोहयसीव मे, तदेकं वद निश्चित्य, येन श्रेयो हि माप्नुयाम्। सो यू आर डिस्कसिङ्ग् दट् इस् नेम् दीस् टु वर्सस् फस्ट् टु वर्सस् इन् दि थर्ड् चाप्टर्. So, as I mentioned before, that the karmam, two kinds of karmam we talked about. One is the karmam that happens without our knowledge, And there is another karmam that happens with our knowledge. The karmam that happens without our knowledge is like what's happening inside the body. So many things goes on, but it is with our knowledge it's going on. And the karma that happens with our knowledge is when we start thinking, I am the doer and the results must come. So karma is classified into these two categories. If it happens without our knowledge, it's better, because then this identity won't happen, or the kartratvam won't come, bhoktratvam also won't come. When we do karma with our knowledge, that is when bondage happens. Karma bandhanam happens at that time. So, without our knowledge, when we do any action, automatically without our knowledge, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and will come along with that. So, that karmam, that becomes, gets extended then. Once that thought comes, then the karmam gets extended naturally. And this is something which is unavoidable. It's a kind of a grip on us. Karmam's grip on us is in that way, that any time when we do something, automatically we assume that I am the doer and results must come according to my desire. So those two things are, there is a grip on us by karma. So that's why Krishna says that actually even though you do a karma, karma never gets finished. It's not over, because that karma has stayed inside in the form of vasana. And as long as vasana is there, if the karma is created, that karma is not finished. It is continued to act further. It's going to take shape, some form later on. So that's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses a word Krishna Karma. Have you noticed that word? Krishna Karma. If you look into third chapter, in two places, verse 29 and fourth chapter, verse 18. All these are technical words in the spiritual life. Krishna Karma. 329 and 418. If you look there, you will see there. 329 says, Prakrtir gunaka prakrtir guna sammoodha sajjande gunakarmasu tan akrishna vidho mandan krishna vinna vijalaye. That Krishna. What does that Krishna means? Prakrtir guna sammoodha sajjande gunakarmasu tan akrishna vidho mandan krishna vinna vijalaye. There is Krishna says like that, isn't it? Krishna vidho. But translation is one who is in factual knowledge. Akrishnavid means persons with a poor fund of knowledge. That's how it is translated here. So, Akrishnavid, Krishnavin, that's one word. Then if you look into the fourth chapter, you will see the verse 18 again. 418. Krishna says there that Karmanya karmaya pashyel akarmanija karmaya sabuddhiman manusheshu sayukta krishna karmakrit. Krishna Karmakrit. So, Krishna Karmakrit means all engaged in all activities. Translation. It's like that, isn't it? But actually, what Krishna Karma means, that a karma that has been executed and it does not go further than that. It's finished. It's completion there. That means a karma, when it's executed, when it is completed, that is called Krishna Karma. Krishna Karmam, because after executing the karmam, not even a trace of it should remain inside. After executing a karmam, not even a trace of that should stay inside. Trace in the form of what? In the form of karma vasana. It should not stay inside. To such an extent, it should come to an end. Then that is called Krishna Karmam. So, why it is translated like this here is because to explain that the person in knowledge will execute Krishna Karmam. That's why it is said like that. That in knowledge a person execute his karma is complete. Krishna karma it will be. So, without a trace in the form of any desires. Because what happens? Karma create karma vasana. And if the karma is not complete, means that there is some desire still inside. In the form of a vasana or desiring something that the results are not completely fulfilling your desires associated with that karma. So therefore it's called incomplete karma. But Krishna karma is that which one is complete. Now to give you an example, when you are very hungry, you take a meal. After eating the meal, you are totally satisfied, isn't it? You're satisfied with a proper meal. If you're completely satisfied, you don't have any more desire to eat afterwards. You don't have any more desire to eat. That's a Krishna karma. That's the Krishna karma, because there is no more desire anymore inside. A kind of fulfillment that they don't want to have any more of that eating. So that way, any karma which leaves you in that consciousness, that is Krishna karma. That is Krishna karma. Complete satisfaction inside. And the reason why we don't get that complete satisfaction in normal life is that in the form of desire, it stays inside. It stays back inside. Ragam, dvesham, kartratvam, boktratvam. In this four form, the karma will stay inside us. Any karma we execute in this world, it will stay inside us in these four different ways. And if you very carefully, when you do any action, if you carefully look at it and give your attention to it, you will notice that there will be some influence of one of these four in that. One of these four will be there in any of our action. Why why do we have to do, if you ask the question, there is no answer. Something, why we are doing karma, if you ask that question, there is no answer to that. Because something, some vasana inside is pushing us to do it. Ragam, dvesham. by doing karmam, vasana will be generated inside. Vasana will be created. And vasana is created, it will create karmam again. It will engage us in karmam again. This is a cycle which you cannot easily get out of it. It's a very difficult cycle. Krishna will say later, evam pravartidam chakram nanuvarta yadihaya. Akhayu indriya ramo mokham parthasa jivati. So you can see this karmic cycle is a very difficult cycle to come out from that. We are caught up in that cycle. So first thing in spiritual life is how to free oneself from karma. That is the first step in the spiritual life. So it's a wheel from which you cannot come out. What does vasana mean? Vasana means the thoughts that's coming through us, which is known as chittavritti, they are only, although they are vritti, say for example, if you got angry with somebody, so immediately there is a vritti inside. A vritti is created inside. That starts developing, formation inside. Again, if once or twice anger happens to that person or to anybody else, that vritti inside will get deepened. It gets deeper. And the same thing can happen with other emotions also, like lust, greed, and things like that. They also have the same quality. Anger is one example, but similarly with other emotions also. Similarly, envy and competing with others, matsaryam. All these are kind of thought waves inside. When it happens, we will give hundreds of reasons for that. Why I got angry and all that. We'll have a lot of reasons for that. The wife will say that my husband's behavior is not proper, he's not dealing properly. The husband will say wife is not listening. Like this, so many different kinds of things will come out from inside. So with whom we get angry is not important. That's not so important thing. But the fact is that anger has come. That is the worst thing. That is more damaging. With whom it got happened, whether the wife or husband or neighbor or doesn't matter. But the fact that the anger happened, that is a chittavritti inside. So, and if a vritti happens like that, and again, if you repeat that same karma, same activity again and again, that vritti will turn out to be a samskaram inside. It will become a samskaram inside. So, in other words, it gets strengthened. And it will go a little bit more deeper, and then it becomes vasana. So first is the vritti, and then it turns into samskaram, and then samskara will become vasana inside. So once it has become a vasana, then it doesn't need your help anymore. Then it's gone. Completely lost your control over that. It has got its own life, in other words. Once it has become vasana, it has got its own life. Then you cannot do very much. You cannot do anything about it. So, that vasana will come and start acting on its own without your prompting for that. It will make you get angry. Vasana will make you get angry inside. So, therefore, when the time is at the right time, whether you know it or not, at that particular time anger will come. Some of the other anger will come. Because once it's become a vasana, vasana is not in our control anymore. When it is a vritti, you can do something. Even when it's a samskaram, you can do something. But once it becomes a vasana, then there's nothing can be done about that. Because we are under the control of vasana. How did the vasana happen? Because from vritti, it turned into samskaram, and then samskara has turned into vasana. And we have to know the growth of this vritti, how the vritti grows inside. Only then the mind can be brought under control. Therefore, for example, children will ask this question always, isn't it? What's the harm in watching TV? They will ask this question, isn't it? What's the harm in watching TV? We are not going to do any of those things. I'm just watching, isn't it? That's what they will say. They'll say like that, isn't it? Children say like that. That why are you stopping me from watching TV? I'm not going and doing all that, but why not? Let me watch at least. What's harm? They'll ask this question. So first they see the serial, and first it turns into, it starts as a vritti inside. And in course of time, we come to the control of that vritti. Because most of the serials and all that are family stories, isn't it? It's stories from different families. Whether you take any, its only difference is that it families from different places, whether it's EastEnders or it's Coronation Street or whatever. It's all family stories happening in different places. What does that mean? It means it's ragam and dvesham, isn't it? Family life is ragadvesham. So once ragadvesham is developed, that's the only thing what they've got to say, isn't it? Husband fighting, wife fighting, children fighting, or friends fighting, neighbors fighting. Fighting is the whole thing what goes on. Whichever serial you take, that's the only thing what happens inside. So all these things, that somebody will hate somebody and somebody will abuse someone, and this will all, and fighting and all the associated activities. So it all comes in the form of a vritti inside, and vritti in turn, in course of time, will turn into samskaram, and turn into vasana, and will come out through our own life in that way. We won't know about these things when it is happening. It's all happening in a very subtle level inside. So therefore, when we are come under the control of that vasana will force us to act in that particular way. So those who come, all these advertisement companies, they know this subtle science. The subtle science is known to them. They know that if you keep on repeating something again and again and again, it falls an impression inside, and it will, vritti will start. Say, continuously you see one billboard at all different places. Same thing. Not automatically, you take notice of it, isn't it? A big billboard at 10 to 12 different places on your way to work. If you keep noticing that every day, it will stay inside as a powerful vritti inside, and that turns into vasana. So what they do is, here and there they'll put a picture in us inside and create this vritti inside, and we will be forced to buy it. Eventually we'll be pulled into that, and or we'll go and act according to their advertisement. Who taught them all these things? Our sannyasis. They have done this job. They are the people who have gone and done these things. To a large extent, it has happened like that. This is what the modern spiritual life is all about. We go and tell them that Bhagavad Gita for developing business, Bhagavad Gita for developing management, Bhagavad Gita for your improvement in your work. So, all these things, what is, they will run courses for them, so they can do their business better. And Bhagavad Gita is abused like this, in this way. That's why in the last chapter, if you remember, Krishna says, Dhyayado Vishaya Pumsan, Sangasteshu Bajayade, Sangal Sanjayade, Kaman Kaman Krodho Bijayade, Krodhal Bhavade Samoha, Samohal Smriti Vibhrama, Smriti Bhramshal Buddhinasho, Buddhinashal Pranashyadi. In those verses, Krishna says how step by step we fall from dhyanam, from meditation. First we meditate upon a particular thing, and it starts becoming powerful inside. And attachment develops, and attachment desire will come. Sangal sanjayade kamam. Kam desire will come. And when the desire is not fulfilled, krodha vijayade, anger will come. And anger will develop into delusion. Samohal smriti vibhrama, forgetfulness will come. Of what? Our own identity. Smriti bhramshal buddhinasham. Buddhinasham will happen. Intelligence is lost. Buddhinashal pranashyati. So step by step, how it happens, Krishna spoke about that earlier. And if we continuously meditate on topics related to sense enjoyment, that is called Vishaya Dhyanam. Vishaya Dhyanam means constantly thinking about how to enjoy senses. Enjoy senses means in a gross level or in a subtle level. Like most of the time, our mind is occupied with earning wealth or fulfilling commitments for family life or social life or whatever. These kind of things. They are also meditation on the sense enjoyment. They are also meditation on the sense enjoyment. So you can see, you may be thinking in the same way that, I'm not doing anything wrong, but I'm just only thinking about what I have to do today. But all what we are going to do today is only about sense enjoyment. That's why in the Bhagavatam you will see one verse is there in the Ekadasha Skandam in the 14th chapter, Krishna says, విషయాన్ ధ్యాయతశ్చిత్తం విషయేషు విషజ్జతే మాం అనుస్మరతశ్చిత్తం మయ్యేవ ప్రవిలీయతే. కృష్ణ సేస్ అకార్డింగ్ టు యువర్ ద వే యూ ఎంగేజ్ యువర్ మైండ్ ధ్యానం మెడిటేషన్ విషయాన్ ధ్యాయతశ్చిత్తం ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ కంప్లీట్లీ ఆల్ ద టైమ్ సెంటర్డ్ అరౌండ్ సెన్స్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ విషయేషు విషజ్జతే ఇట్ విల్ గెట్ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ దాట్ అండ్ విల్ బికమ్ డిజాల్వ్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్. మాం అనుస్మరతశ్చిత్తం one who is thinking about me mai eva praviliyade it will come completely absorbed in me it will get dissolved in me. So this is the same principle vishayandhyayas chittam vishayeshu visajjade mam anusmaradas chittam mai eva praviliyade krishna says there. So krishna saying to uddhava if you continuously think all the time about sense enjoyment and sense gratification. We must know the limit of this sense enjoyment. Everything what we are planning, executing, meditating is all based on senses, isn't it? Sense gratification whole day in some form or the other. So Krishna's point is, if you keep on doing that, the whole chittam inside will become filled with vishayagaram. Vishayagaram means it's only vishayams will be inside. There will be no Krishna inside. It will be only sense gratification inside. So then the result of that once a vishaya vasana, the vasanas builds up for the sense enjoyment, automatically we will start desiring this so many things. I want to have this, I want to have that, and that will push us into karma. So karmam, from karmam result will come. We know some results will come from the karmam. Once we get the results, again karmam after that. Like this, it's a circle. So how to come out of this circle? This is karma yoga, isn't it? Karma yoga is spoken. How to free oneself from this karma? There are two possibilities Krishna talks about in the Bhagavad Gita. These are very subtle topics in the Bhagavad Gita. Unless we see whole Bhagavad Gita as one picture, as one message, we will get lost from all these things, because often our tendency is to pick one verse from somewhere and say Krishna said like this. That verse is a part of a big message in the Bhagavad Gita. Big message is this, that very subtle questions are there in the Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna talks about karmam and then he says how to free from the karma. So if you look, there's two possibilities how to do that. If you understand all these things, then you will enjoy the Bhagavad Gita very much, because you can see how Krishna, very subtle level, he has put matters in front of Arjuna. And Arjuna also had to go through these doubts in the beginning, because probably Arjuna was also looking individually each verse and analyzing it. Oh, you told me in that verse like this. If you start taking like that, you will get into trouble. Bhagavad Gita is one whole package. It's a whole science of release, freeing ourselves from these effects of karma and going back to spiritual world or going back to Krishna. So here, one possibility, Vedantis will say like this, that completely give up karma. Don't do anything. Because it's only by doing karma this problem has happened, isn't it? So karma is completely a problem. It creates so much problem. So give up completely. Don't engage in any kinds of karma. And in solitude, like the great jnanis and others do, go into the solitude, give up all kinds of fruitive activities, and only do what is very minimum necessary for maintaining the body. Only such karma. That means bathing and taking some food, whatever that comes by nature's arrangement, whatever we get, being satisfied with that. Not to endeavor for even obtaining a better quality of life, in other words. Totally accepting that I'm not going to do any work because it's going to bind me. Completely I'll keep myself free from me. And only for the maintaining the body, what is necessary, we do it. In such a way to act. If you do such a thing, it won't create any trouble. If you can do that, it won't create any trouble. Because only for bodily maintenance you will deal with this world. All other things you are willing to tolerate. Whether you get a place to sleep, whether the society recognizes your existence, or community or society or any kind of things, nothing matters to you. You are completely independent from the society, only thinking in terms of eating something. If food comes by nature, you will accept it. And if it doesn't come, you are willing to live with that. So in that way, if you want to live, that is a possibility. And if you want to eat something, go for begging for food, bhiksha. Beg for the food. And then the remaining time to sit somewhere and to chant the holy name or meditation on Krishna, and or stay in the satsangam. This is one option. On your own, you should go and jump into any kind of karma. Many, many big temples, if you look, there will be people like this who live a life like that. They live so simple. They bathe in the temple tank. They spend the time in the temple. If any prasadam they get it from the temple, they'll take it. If they don't get it, they will accept that as the, and don't not too much concerned about anything what happens in life. That's a very higher understanding of spiritual life, because they understood, either they had such experiences in life that they had done this karma enough and they burned their fingers and realized it, that I had enough of it, I'm going to leave it now, finished with that, that understanding. But sometimes what happens, that after we go into that, if inside maturity hasn't happened, after a while it'll come back again. The whole, if you have left karma, karma will come back to you. So it's the most difficult situation with this karma. So living alone and not associating with anybody and everything, when you hear that, it's an easy thing to do, isn't it? Looks easier, much easier. But it may become practical for some people. That depends on the maturity of the person inside. For some people, because if they had got such shocks in life, sometimes it will turn a man in that direction. He can make that firm decision inside not to come back to this material life and doing karma again. That will only happen. What happens to most of us is we get a little pleasure here and there in this life. When that little pressure comes, he says, oh, it's not too bad. After all, we can tolerate it. So this way it goes on. So for some people, it will be practical. Buddha did that, isn't it? Buddha left this world. Why? Such a strong realization came to him. Shankaracharya did exactly the same thing. Walked out of the house at the age of 8 and did what he has to do. He didn't want anything to do with this world. So going like that is called Sankhyam. Remember, that first part of the Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, is all Sankhya Yoga. So only one who has reached that state can execute this Sankhya Yoga, who is in that state of consciousness. So, and that intelligence, which is in that state of consciousness, is called Sankhya Buddhi. The Buddhi, which is associated with Sankhya. And then engage in the thought of the soul. Thoughts of the soul, or thoughts of Krishna, you can say in that sense. Of Krishna. In such a case, the karma will not touch that person. He is not going in the direction of karma at all. So no new karma is created, and all the previous karma vasanas, what was inside, he has removed them by his power of thought. He has removed them because his introspection and absorption is so deep that karmam cannot touch him anymore. To such an extent, powerful inside. Because inside, all our vasanas will only come out because we are weak. That's why. If the determination is so strong inside, that even those karma vasanas, what we have created inside, will go due to the power of that, the thought inside. Because so much absorbed in that, thoughts of the soul, that vasanas cannot come any closer. They will stay away from us, and they will get in due course possible to destroy them. Just like a fruit which is fully ripe will fall away in its matured state. Similarly, for them, they can give up anything in this world. Anything in this world. No connection, no attachment anywhere to anything. It's a very high state of consciousness, isn't it? That you have no connection. You talk to them about anything related to material life, they have no interest. They don't show any desire for acquiring anything in this world. It's, in other words, what does it mean? complete vairagyam inside. Complete vairagyam inside. From that vairagyam, because vairagyam gets stronger, why we keep on repeating about this vairagyam? Because only if there is vairagyam, there is jnanam will become firm inside. The knowledge will become firm inside. Otherwise, the firmness won't be there. Today we'll say, yeah, everything is fine. Next moment our mind will go in the behind sense enjoyment. So that's why jnana vairagyam, they go together. They are depicted in the Bhagavadam as the children of bhakti, isn't it? Bhakti's children, jnanam and vairagyam. So one cannot live without the other. Jnanam cannot live without vairagyam, and vairagyam cannot live. Vairagyam, one who has got vairagyam, naturally he has jnanam. Proper vairagyam, if a person has, it means he has got jnanam as well. That is the main thing. So this process is not for everybody. What we have talked about, this Angyam, is not for everyone. It is at that time Krishna brought the other process. What is it? Yoga Buddhi, Karma Yoga. What Krishna brought in. And Yoga Buddhi means Karma Yoga. Sangyam and Krishna spoke about this Karma Yoga in the chapter of Sangya Yoga itself. The second chapter is in the older Bhagavad Gita, if you look, it is called Sangya Yoga. The second chapter is called Sangya Yoga. So in the Sangya Yoga itself, Krishna spoke about Karma Yoga. If you look in the second chapter, you will see there. Though, and this same Karma Yoga, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna brought this through the conversation between King Nimi and the Navayogis, the nine sages, brought this as Bhagavata Dharma. It's all one and the same thing. So Karma Yoga and made propaganda in that way, propagated in that way, the Karma Yoga, which is in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna presented Uddhava to Uddhava. Sudeva Swami spoke to Parikshit in this way, a conversation between Nimi and the Navayogis. It is called Bhagavata Dharma there. It is the same as this Karma Yoga. Practically there is no difference. What does it say there? It says here, hand over your mind to Krishna. Hand over your mind to Krishna. Complete surrender, Sharanagati. That is what it is there in that chapter. Then, in whichever position one is situated in their life, according to that, we should act without desiring any results and without any attachment to anything. Continuously engaging in activities, without whether it is coming according to our desire or not, the results, without concerning about all those things, continuously living a life like that in this world. If you do like that, Krishna is saying that little by little, karma will leave us. If we develop that consciousness. This is the Bhagavata principle. Srimad Bhagavata principle is like that. So, here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gave the name as Karma Yoga. So, if you add bhakti to Karma Yoga, it became Bhagavata Dharma. That's all it is. Bhagavata Dharma, what we see in the Kayena Vaja Manasendriyerva Buddhyalpanava Prakriti Subhaval Karoti Yadyad Sagalam Parasmai Narayanayadi Samarpayami. That verse is nothing but Karma Yoga, but added to that is bhakti. Then bhakti means that you are fasting over that the all our activities to Krishna, surrendering to Krishna. That is all basically that it is. But without adding, strictly speaking, without bhakti, karma will not become Karma Yoga. That also you have to recognize. So you can see when, when Prabhupada uses certain words in English, it's always connected with bhakti. He has given a title to one chapter, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Isn't it? There's one chapter, Action in Krishna Consciousness. What does it mean? It means that any action without Krishna Consciousness is not action, proper action even. So any karmam without bhakti attached to that is not karmam, Karma Yoga. So Karma Yoga is the very basic principle of starting spiritual life. That is the very first step in spiritual life. And if that is not proper, everything you build on top of that will collapse. It won't stay. The very basic principle, because we have come with karma vasana in us. We have come with strong karma vasana in us. Nobody need to tell us to do karma, isn't it? Without anyone telling us, we'll wake up in the morning, start engaging in karma. So if the karma is not first rectified, anything you build on top of that will not work. Will not work. That is why the very principle of Bhagavad Gita is beginning with this Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is the foundation on which everything is built up further. Our so-called bhakti, jnanam and all, to stay properly with its proper footing on us, the karma, the foundation on which it's created, has to be strong. And that's why in spiritual life, under no circumstances, we can do anything in expectation of any results from that. It has to be done like that. There is no choice there. There's no choice. Because sages know our nature very well, that we have come to this world with karma vasana inside. And freeing oneself from karma vasana is the first step. So therefore, no matter who says, whatever excuse they make, have to maintain family, this, that or the other, that is, they have not understood Bhagavad Gita, they have not understood Krishna consciousness. Simple as that. They can make any excuse they want, but that doesn't fly. That doesn't fly. In spiritual language, from the spiritual understanding point of view, if you have come to serve Krishna, you have to do it without accepting anything in return. If you are accepting it, that means you have not understood the very, very fundamental principle of Krishna consciousness. It is so simple as that. And that's why the tendency now is to propagate this. Oh, Prabhupada said this. Prabhupada wouldn't say that. Prabhupada never said like that. It has all been twisted and tweaked to suit different people's nature. So anyway, without that karma yogam, Arjuna, Krishna says here to Arjuna that there is a problem here. That when Krishna spoke about this karma yogam, there was a problem. Problem was this. Arjuna says, I'm willing to do karma yogam. No problem with that. But why you ask me to fight the war? Why don't you give me some other karma instead of fighting this war? This was Krishna's point. Arjuna is saying to Krishna that I will, in the name of karma yogam, I'll sit somewhere and I'll do some social service. Or otherwise I'll do some deity worship or chanting the holy name. And I'll do some other work. Why should I do this particular thing of fighting a war? Kim karmani ghore imam niyojayasi keshava, he says. Kim karmani ghore imam niyojayasi keshava. Why you push me to do this horrible and ghastly war? Why do I have to engage in that? And why don't you give me some karmam which is sattvigam? Sattvigam. Sattvigam means which does not give too much of a disturbances inside. Do I have to do this powerful or disturbing karma, which is this war? Can I not do something else? The answer to that, Krishna starts in the third verse. Look at that now. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Lokesmin Dvidanishtam Pura Prokta Mayanakam Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Lokesmin Dvidanishtam Pura Prokta Mayanakam Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. Translation. The Blessed Lord said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who realize the Self. Some are inclined to understand Him by empirical philosophical speculation, and others are inclined to know Him by devotional work. Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who realize the Self. Some are inclined to understand Him by empirical philosophical speculation, and others are inclined to know Him by devotional work. So these two classes, one is the Sankhyam, and the other one is the Sankhya Yogam, other one is the Karma Yogam. Sankhya Yogam is the one, people whom we spoke about, who completely refrained from doing anything, but totally developed that strength of conviction inside, that karma is going to cause bondage for him, and free himself by not engaging in any karma, in any form. And others are inclined to know Him by devotional work. And there, if you read that purport, few lines before, about 10-12 lines later, there's a verse Prabhupada says there, religion without philosophy is sentiment, or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So both are necessary. Religious life without philosophy is sentiment, simply on a sentimental level, operating in that way. And sometimes fanaticism turns into fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So when Krishna says there, Prabhupada says here that philosophy without religion, what does that mean? Religion, he is referring to this religion, is not about whether I'm a Hindu, Christian or not Muslim. The religion is talking about the intense sadhana, what we are supposed to execute. That sadhana is that religious side which Krishna is talking about. So here, says Krishna says, from the time of creation itself, these two processes exist. These two processes exist. Which one? Sankhyam and Karmam. No bhakti is mentioned there. Have you noticed? From the time of creation, Sankhyam and Karmam is the two processes that has been discussed. In the Bhagavad Gita's commentary, you will see Ajaya Swamiji says, Ubodhkhadam, that pravarti lakshano dharmaha, nivrti lakshano shreyaha. That is the words he has used. Pravarti lakshano dharmaha, nivrti lakshano shreyaha. That means that these two processes, which means Sankhyam and Karma Yogam, from the time of creation itself, Krishna has made it available for everybody, for everyone to accept, take it. That means you will notice that jnanis follow the first one, Sankhyam. The karmam, or was addicted to karmam, or who has that karm tendencies for karmam, they will follow the Karma Yoga. In the both are considered to be nishta. Jnana nishta or Brahma nishta or Karma nishta, it is called. Jnana nishta is also called Brahma nishta. Jnana nishta and Karma nishta, it is called. And nishta means only one thing, that always situated in knowledge of the self. Always situated in the knowledge of the self. That's why it's called nishta. So these two processes will develop into self-realization. These two processes will develop into self-realization. That's why pravarti lakshano dharmaha, nivrti lakshano shreyaha. Pravarti lakshana means engaging in these activities based on dharmam. And nivrti lakshana means how to escape from this nivrti. Nivrti means that not to, how to free oneself from this cycle of karma, karmic cycle. Shreyaha, that is shreyas. That's the principle. That pravarti lakshanam, pravarti will engage eventually into, if it is not executed based on dharmam, it will bind. Isn't it? It will bind. Bind. Bondage will happen. Nivrti lakshanam dharma shreyaha. Nivrti lakshana means that shreyas, or because yena shreyoham apniyad. That was Arjuna's question. If you remember in the earlier verse, vyamishrayaneva vakena, in that question was yena shreyoham apniyad. The last line, you see there? That vyamishrayaneva vakena buddhim mohayasivami tadegam vada nishchitya. Tadegam vada nishchitya. Arjuna says, give me very specifically, tell me the answer. Yena shreyoham apniyam. How shreyas will come to me. So, while commenting on that, he says, nivrti lakshano shreyaha. Nivrti means one can free oneself from the cycle of karmam, that through this process. So if you put it in, one is Sankhya Yogam and the other one is Karma Yogam. One is Sankhya Yogam, other one is Karma Yogam. So the Sankhya Yogam is actually nothing but the process of sannyasam. That is sannyasi's margam. And the second one is pravarti margam. Pravarti means the inaction, living for the grahasthas, particularly for the grahasthas, pravarti margam. So, in sannyasa life, without engaging in any activity, completely absorbed in the truth, self-realized state, or that always contemplating on the truth, what is inside, and able to be situated in that, is the process of sannyasam. So, in the definition of sannyasam is actually jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Lakshanam of a jnanam, or lakshanam of a person who has got jnanam, who is in sannyasam, he is a jnani. Sannyasi must be a jnani. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam, says. Nadu mundanam, nadu kashayam, Nadudandam. None of this is sannyasam. Sannyasam is knowledge. Sannyasam is knowledge. And that is why, what do we see today in the world? The sannyasis are absorbed in everything, what they are not meant to, supposed to do. They think that they are engaged in the maximum karma. So they taken sannyasam and the other hand engaged in total karma. This is what is the complicated situation. So everybody is confused what's the right thing in these things. And then they see the sannyasis doing, keeping big bank balances, loads of money accumulated, followers, this, that and the other. And everybody thinks this is spiritual life. We go follow them. So you can see how we fell from that basic understanding. When if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, we will discuss that. Ekadasha Skandam when we come. Sannyasa is dharmam. Krishna is talks about that to Uddhava. Brahmachari Grastham Vanaprastham Sannyasam. If you read that description of sannyasam there, and if you start looking at the sannyasam today, you will think, what is the connection between the two? To such an extent, it has gone out of step from the Krishna's words. That's why many times it has become practically a world where karma has become so predominant, strong, that many people are refraining from engaging in the sannyasa ashram because you make a mockery of the whole thing at the end. And sannyasis are feeling so insecure in life that they need loads of money, loads of bank balances, and loads of... And the excuse outside is that I have to serve Krishna. If you do this, like, what can you say more than that? So, you don't need... First thing is, one's own life, one doesn't turn in that way, as Shastram is telling us to do. Then any amount of twist from that will cause problems. So, you can see that the sannyasam itself is to come out of karma. That is the purpose of sannyasam. That you have done enough karma, you have realized that it's all a waste of time, and to be fixed up in the truth. So, if you don't want that cloth, sannyasam cloth, and you want to engage in vyavaharam, on the other hand, then the best thing is pravritti margam, the process of action. Sannyasi margam is nivritti margam. Sannyasi's process is nivritti. Because they have given up karmam completely, and they have completely surrendered and totally fixed up on the soul, on Krishna's presence inside, and absorbed in that thought all the time, that they will not encourage anyone to engage in action because they are situated properly in the soul. So, and their main occupation is being alone and also engaged in the thoughts of the contemplation on the soul. Sarvasanga parityagam. If that is not possible, karma yogena yoginam, Krishna is saying. So Krishna has given us one option there. Jnana yogena sanghyanam. If you have knowledge, jnana yogam, if you have followed that, and if you are completely able to live with that, according to that rule of jnana yogam, sanghyanam, they can follow the sangha yogam. If it is not possible, karma yogena yoginam, follow the process of karma yogam. For those who have not, are unable to do that, because it is not, Krishna knows very well, if everyone was that strong in jnana yogam, this world will be spiritual world, isn't it? There won't be material world. But we have come here with so much karma vasana inside, and to tell us to become jnana yogena yoginam, jnana yogena sanghyanam, is not going to work. Therefore, Krishna gave us the option, karma yogena yoginam. So, both of them, jnana yogi as well as karma yogi, they are both sadhaka. Sadhaka means they are executing sadhana, both of them, but into different levels. Both of them, their goal is ultimately to go back to Krishna. Both of them is going back to Krishna. Atmaha. Atma or self-realization is the goal. Not that for materialist karma yogam and for jnani sannyasa yogam. Sannyasa yogam. That's not what it means. Materialist activities is not karma yogam. Sometimes people say, people who are engaged in social service, isn't it? For example, digging wells or building roads or building hospitals, building schools, they are thinking, they are materialists. They are not spiritualists. You have to understand that. They are materialists. Those who are after schools, hospitals, and all other kinds of philanthropic activities, they are all materialists. Why? Because it is not Karma Yoga. They have not come to Karma Yoga platform. That and in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no discussion about Laugigas. Laugiga means materialists. Bhagavad Gita, there is no discussion. They are not even taken into account at all. They are not even taken into account. So, sometimes what happens is that we start thinking that this is all part of Krishna consciousness. All these things, activities like schools, hospitals and all that, is part of Krishna consciousness. They have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is only two options. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Either completely fixed up, accepted the truth and decided to give up all karma and free yourself following the Sankhya process. Or come to the Karma Yoga platform where you are able to execute the Karma Yoga completely with devotion to Krishna. Bhakti, Krishna Bhakti, associated with that, like the Bhagavata Dharma. So, Bhartrihari says about this. He says, we don't know about these materialists, he says. We don't know who they are. We have never heard about that, he says. So, there is no discussion about that. One is first one. Then who is discussed here? First one, he said, the people who are very matured in spiritual life. That means they've already got that knowledge in the realization inside that they are busy with the transcendental activities and transcendental knowledge to such a degree. And the second one is those who are slow. Who are not able to make that step in one step, they can't get there. So they need a continuous progression or in a step-by-step approach for them. Manda, in the spiritual language, it's called Uttamadhikari and Mandadhikari. Uttamadhikari means one who is already there. All he requires is time for him to he is spiritually mature that he can stay in that situation of the self, knowledge of the self all the time. And in other words, he is fixed up completely. The Mandadhikari means one who requires help. He has to go step by step. That is what this difference. Jnana yogena sankhyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Actually, logesmin dvidha nishtha pura prokta mayanaka. That is the verse. If you look at that, you will see there. In other words, jnanam and karmam, they are both inside this world. Inside this world. Because later on in the 15th chapter, Krishna will talk about Kshara-purusha and Akshara-purusha. Do you remember? It is the 15th chapter, the Yoga of the Supreme Person. The word in the Bhagavad Gita is Kshara-purusha and Akshara-purusha. So, what is the difference between these two yoga systems? That we must know. What is the difference between Jnana-margam and Karma-margam? Karma-yogam is working on the principle of false ego that based on me, I am the doer. It's based on that ahankaram or false ego is inside. It is on that base, it is depending on that is the Karma Yoga is working. Karma Yoga is working in this world. I am consciousness, the soul, it is based on that Jnana Yoga is working. You see the difference? Jnana Yoga is working because the person is completely conscious of the presence of the soul inside and his identification with the soul is complete. In other words, he is not any moment he thinks, I am false ego. False ego platform he has left once for all. So in other words, Jnani, when he is working in this world, he is working completely situated in the platform of the soul. So when you are acting in this world, Jnani may also do things in this world. But if he is completely fixed on the identity with the soul, false ego will never wake up inside. He cannot identify with false ego anymore. It will not wake up. He is always situated on the platform of the knowledge of who he is. Whereas Karma Yogam, he knows very well. He is not conscious of that. That consciousness is bodham. Bodham, it is called bodham. Isn't it? He doesn't have, he is not dependent on that bodham. On the other hand, he is dependent on his false ego. And what he is doing is, depending, acting in this world, completely wiping out this false ego all the time. So in order to wipe out that false ego, Krishna is telling us, do things in such a way that your false ego will come down at different levels. It will come start decreasing in a decreasing way. So how will that happen? It will only happen that if it is executed a karma yoga. That means I am not the doer and I am not expecting any results from my action. So kartratvam and bhoktratvam should not be there in karma yoga. Only then it is karma yoga. Only then it is karma yoga. So continuously destroying one's false ego by engaging in karma without expectation of any results is a process called karma yoga. In other words, without expectation of any results, constantly doing things what is necessary in this world, because karma, you cannot get out of it very easily. The propensity is there inside. But doing things in such a way that a false ego goes away day by day, it comes off, and without expectation of results, and in that way decreasing the false ego, and in that way decreasing the false ego inside, and that is called karma yoga. So, on the other hand, who am I thinking about that all the time and moving away from the false ego to the platform of knowledge of the self, that and that pure prajna, what Krishna talks about, isn't it, prajna? That prajna, staying in that and keeping the mind all the time in one's own spiritual identity, that's called jnana yoga. That's the difference between jnanam and karma. In karma yoga, you are constantly destroying the false ego. False ego has to go one day, whether jnani or a karma yogi. But jnani, by virtue of, by the power of his thoughtful power, he has already realized it, that the false ego is not me. I am pure consciousness, soul, aham brahmasmi. In that consciousness, he is all the time developing and staying in that platform whole lifetime, which means that karma can never touch him. He is released. Karma yogi, on the other hand, who cannot do that, who don't have that strength of mind, he does all his activities in such a way that it will not create any kind, his false ego constantly falls away from him. Why? Because all actions are without desire for results. All, in all actions, there is no I am the doer. Kartratvam is not there. In one place, in Karma Yogi's case, his attention is always on the false ego. In the Jnani's case, attention is always on the soul. On two places. Karma Yogi, attention is always on the false ego. Every time when he is performing action, he is thinking, is the false ego building up inside or is it going away from me? Jnani is always, his attention is on the soul all the time. He doesn't even think about this false ego aspect of it. So, while executing karma yogam, if one keeps on thinking who I am, and in that process I am not the doer, if that builds up inside, that is karma yoga. That means even while executing karma yoga, if this thought is inside who I am, he has not reached that stage yet of a jnani stage, but he is constantly thinking, who am I? I am nothing to do with this karma. I am completely not bound by this karma. In that consciousness, if it is executed, that is karma yoga. If you say the same thing in the language of bhakti, it's the same thing, it is spoken in two different ways, that's all. That completely surrendering to Krishna, in other words, everything Krishna is doing through me. I have nothing to do with it. Krishna is doing this through me and become a machine in Krishna's hands. That is karma yoga. So, that action in Krishna consciousness is nothing but the same thing, karma yoga, but surrendering to Krishna. Krishna is doing everything through us. Jnana yoga is like this, that in jnana yoga, the mind goes inward looking, antarmukham, and all the time the attention is on the soul. And that attention always on the soul is jnana yoga. That's why Krishna says, jnana yogena sanghyanam, karma yogena yoginam. Jnana yogi, he has no vyavaharam in this world. Because all the time, his attention is so gone inside, inward looking. This world doesn't even exist for him. To such an extent, it has gone inward, inward looking. So much fixed on the soul, on the spiritual platform. And completely inward looking. That is a very, very rare thing, isn't it? Very, very rare thing. You may have heard about this. We also went there when we went to Tamil Nadu. There was this story of Namalwar. He's one of the Vaishnava saints, famous Vaishnava saints. He was lying underneath the tree and totally realized his state as a baby. And his whole history, if you read, is one of the famous Alwars, Ramanujacharya's, many Alwars who came before Ramanujacharya. He's one of the most famous Alwar, Namalwar. Namalwar was in that state, Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, completely realized even from birth itself. Many people like that, but rare though. It's not a common thing to be like in that state. Few souls will come like that. This only happens because in previous life, Purva Paribhagam it's called. That means previous lifetimes, they have passed through all these stages. And somehow or the other, due to some prarabdham, they had to come here and spend some time here before going back to that spiritual position again. So that's why you see them like that in this world. So only then they can give up everything like that in such a state. So that's not not possible for everyone. So what about others? This is for those few rare souls who have reached that state. You can't force people to give up everything, can you? If you force people to do something like that, it will not work. Because this is a mistake what Buddhists have done. Buddhists created this problem. The whole country became sannyasis. Nobody was willing to do any work. Everyone is carrying a bowl in the hand, bicham dehi, bicham dehi. Everybody starts asking for food, then who will give the food? If everyone becomes a Buddhist monk. So Buddhism had this problem. Then, because Lord Buddha has done this, everybody thought that that is a process we also have to do. Because this is how in spiritual life we get the misunderstanding. Somebody does something and we all think we have to do exactly the same thing. And we follow him blindly without properly analyzing ourselves, what we are. So Buddha took sannyasam, moved away from the palace, gave up the family life, everything. Because he was in that state from the very beginning. And he had no attraction for anything in this world. And so much vairagyam, and with that, associated with that jnanam inside, automatically builds up. And then he gave. And so everybody started thinking, oh, Buddha has done like this, let me also do the same thing. So they started leaving home and taken sannyasam and kashayam and the bowl in the hand. So no more work after this. And no more working after this. Not only that, wear one of these sannyasi clothes. So everybody bought these sannyasi clothes, shaved up their head completely, and took this begging bowl and started walking around the streets. So many Buddha bhikshus at that time, when Buddhism was here at that time. So in whole of Bharatavarsham, thousands and thousands of these Buddhist monks everywhere, Buddha viharas they are called, and they were not doing any work, very busy with the following Buddha in that way. So this is where they have gone away from the Vedic tradition. Vedas don't say this anywhere. Vedas give a lot of importance to karma also. Karma is not written off like that. So, that means they have given up pravritti. They have given up pravritti. But are they reached the nivritti? No. They have not reached the nivritti stage. Why is that? Are they jnanis? No. They are not jnanis either. Because they have that maturity, jnanam is not there in them. You become a jnani only if you are fixed up on the soul, on the position of the soul. If that's not there, that is not it's not a nivritti stage. So these people are, they didn't want to work, basically. They were lazy people. They just didn't want to do anything. So, you know, people become devotees also like that. When they don't want to do anything, they think that's a better option, let me go this route. You have, there's a lot of people like that. I mean, all kinds of people you will see in spiritual life in this way. Just don't want to do anything, so I'm a devotee. So, or like this, the Buddha Bhikshu's stage was not much different. The Buddhists also did exactly the same. The only thing, they became sannyasis straight away. Anyway, so their position is, they are neither this side nor on the other side. In Shastram, there's a word for that, Ubhayabhrashtada. Ubhayabhrashtada means they don't have a proper material life, nor do they have a proper spiritual life either. Because a person who has come with karma vasana, and in that karma vasana goes away by engaging in certain karma, yes, a karma yogam. So it's an opportunity to do that. Through karma miti, it's recommended to do that. Then an jnanam is in a matured state, it should come out in a natural way. And just like coconut, if you cut the coconut, and if it's green coconut, if it's not very fully ripe, what will happen? Even if you scrape the coconut a lot, there'll be something will be sticking inside, isn't it? It's very difficult to completely get it out from inside. Whereas when the coconut is fully dry, if you shake it, it will make the noise inside. Why? The pulp has come out of the shell. You've seen that, isn't it? Pulp has come out of the shell. So inside that big coconut, it has shrunk inside, and it has become completely detached from the external shell. External shell. So similarly, if the knowledge is matured completely, or complete maturity has developed, then automatically, in a natural way, it will come out of karma. Yeah? In a natural way, it will come from from the karma. It has to happen in a natural way. Not somebody tells you and you do it. Because you have experienced material life enough. And you have understood that this is what material life is worth. All these realizations has to come before you come to that stage. As I mentioned, so many experiences in life can turn a person in that direction. Just like you can see, after World War I, II and all that, a lot of people understood that this place is not a very safe place to live. And they started looking for some different direction. Many, many people who came looking for spiritual life, if you look back in history, they were pilots in the Second World War, they were army, somehow they survived through the war, and after the war was over, they didn't want to know anything about this world, what they have seen in that war. Killing each other for no benefit. They themselves knew, what am I fighting for, killing each other like this? And when you see that misery day in and day out for a few years, that's enough. Vietnam War, a lot of devotees who joined ISKCON were Vietnamese, participated in Vietnam. Probably you know there's a one or two sannyasis, they were in the Vietnam War. They didn't want to know anything after that, after the scene there, what they had to do, they had to go through. And what pushed them to do that? Nobody can say anything about it, because it happened in life in that way. They were drafted by the government. Government is also encouraging and sent them to war in some faraway place to kill somebody whom they don't even know who they are. And they had to engage in all this kind of gross, very ghastly war. And that can turn people into such situations. Similarly, when great disasters happen in the world, like natural disasters like earthquake, cyclone, and all this, when the whole thing gets destroyed, and if you survive by chance, somehow or the other, then naturally your thoughts will also go in a different direction. Mind can only handle so much. Afterwards, mind also withdraws from all these things, isn't it? So, the point is this, that Jnana Yogam, you cannot create by willpower alone. Not by willpower that you can become a Jnani. It has to come from Swayam Anubhuti. Anubhuti means one's own, that reflection inside by experiences. And of course, along with that, if you are a thoughtful person, you will start thinking about life in a different level, in a deeper level, and you will come to some conclusions inside, and then natural way you will have no attraction for karma in this world. That's what happens in a natural way. You will have no attraction for karma in this world. It happens in a natural way. You are not attracted anymore towards karma. At that time, Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam, it will work. Jnana Yogam will work. So So long as this thing called willpower, willpower is nothing but false ego in another form. We call it in a very polished language, willpower. But actually it is false ego inside. So long as it's there, we have to stay in Karma Yoga. We have to stay in Karma Yoga. When our will goes away, when our will goes away, this will is nothing but false ego. When that goes away and completely become surrendered to Krishna, according to Krishna's desire, everything is happening in this world. Krishna is controlling everything. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtari brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya. If that realization has come completely inside, then only Krishna's desire is happening in this world. And in that case, every single thing what's happening is Krishna's desire. Then that realization is complete. In other words, at no point in time we should say, oh, this should not have happened, that should not have happened. That's why in spiritual life, even though so much nonsense is going on, that is also Krishna's desire. That is the way to accept that. That's also Krishna's desire. if you are saying that, oh, it is my desire, it should not have happened like that, that is my desire. But whatever that is happening, that is Krishna's desire. So that's the way. It should not happen in my life in this way. Then if you say like that, that is your desire. So or it should happen in this way in the future. If you say like that is my desire. But whatever that is happening continuously in this world, that is Krishna's desire. So when we surrender to that and I don't exist anymore, and then we became Karma Yogi. Then we become Karma Yogi. That means the false ego is completely gone away from inside. This body is nothing but a gross form of karma. Body has only one function. What is that? Karma. Isn't it? Karma and body are not different. Because you have to look at it from the functional aspect. We are thinking that what is this body for? Isn't it? Body is only for execution of karma. That's why this body was given to us. Prarabdha karma has to be completed. So therefore body was given to us. So it is a gross form of karma, this material body. Material body is a gross form of karma. So long as we have this thought inside that I am this body, so long as we think like that, I am this body, then one should not give up karma. One should not give up karma. And because you cannot give up karma like that, so long as we are this body. So once a person, this is a story spoken by one of the sages. He says that he and his wife used to live together, and sometimes they have heated arguments about various things in life. So he will say to his wife, I'm going to take sannyas, he will say. And he will say so. So at that time, wife will say, please don't do that. And she will request him, if you take sannyas, what will happen to me? Where will I go? So he will say, please don't take sannyas, he will say. Then who will look after me, he'll say. So this used to happen every week, once a week or so. It used to happen. So he used to use this as a technique to get things wanted, what he wanted in that way. It happened for so long that one day the wife got fed up with this. So one day when he said like that, I'm going to take sannyas, she said, all right, take sannyas. Then he said, says to him. So never requested anymore after that. So what did he do? He left home. He says, I'm taking, because he has said already, I'm going to take sannyas. He has to keep his word, isn't it? Otherwise he'll lose his face. So he left home, walked out of the house. Then he walked away from the home, long way, and went to the forest and was wandering around thinking what to do. By then it was time for prasadam and hunger started coming. So he thought what to do now. His conditioning is like that, isn't it? The need for food on time. And he was used to a comfortable life also at home. So he was desiring for the food. So he was thinking what to do now. At that time he saw their own cow from the house was wandering around here and there. So what he did was, he went and cut hold of the tail of the cow. And the cow started walking back home, and he came back. When the cow went back home, he also went with the cow back to the house. So when he got back to the house, the wife asked, what happened to the sannyasin? He said, he says, the cow is not leaving me. What can I do? So I've come back because the cow is not leaving me. So this was, he wanted some excuse to come back to the house again and to continue with his life. So such people, if they take sannyas, what will happen? So that's why sannyasa vasana is not something you can artificially create like that. People are very particular about taking sannyasam. And there are many people who are ready to give sannyasam also. Neither the one who is giving nor the one who is taking really understand what sannyasam involves. And because sannyasis are so busy in the karmarangam or in the activities of in karmam, that they feel that, oh, my sannyasam will be like this, they know before that, before they come into that. So when he went back, he says to his wife, this cow is not leaving me, what can I do? He's holding on to the tail and he's saying like this. So even then there is a little bit desire inside, even there is a slight desire inside, we will hold on to something and come back to this world again to do karma. This is the absolute rule, that if there is still some material desire inside, even if you may have taken sannyasam externally, you will still come back to this world to get that thing what you are looking for. Whether it's money, whether it's followers, whether it's a fame, whatever that is. So that is why Krishna is saying that if you have a desire and if there is a vasana inside, even by holding on to the tail of a cow, that you will come back to this world. You will come back to this world. Therefore, so long as vasana is there, that sarvasanga parityagam or giving up everything is not practical. It's not going to work. We should not even talk about that with the mouth, about giving up things. Then by giving up externally, it is not going to become sannyasam. It's not going to become sannyasam. That is the biggest problem today. That externally they have given up everything. Sannyasam is not external giving up. That is the next verse Krishna is talking about. Verse 4. Na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmim purushosnute naja sannyasanad eva siddhim samadhi gacchati. Once again, na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmim purushosnute naja sannyasanad eva siddhim samadhi gacchati. Translation: not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Krishna says, not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. If you read that purport, you will see the second line. Prabhupada is saying, without purification, one cannot attain success by abruptly adopting the fourth order of life, sannyasam. And then again he says, Lord Krishna does not approve this principle. Without purification of heart, sannyasa is simply a disturbance to the social order. Just see that we should not disturb the society we live by falsely pretending. Some of the activities sannyasis are busy with, every morning they are looking at their bank balance, what is in the bank, and they think that this is spiritual life. This is not spiritual life. This is misleading the society. That's why Krishna doesn't approve that. Na karmanam anarambham naishkarmyam purushosnudi. Naishkarmya siddhi. This is what that stage is called. Naishkarmya siddhi. All the jnanis have glorified this state. Naishkarmya siddhi. And what does it mean? All it's saying is, stay quiet. Stay quiet. It doesn't mean that you stay quiet means without moving the body. That's not what it means. What it means is, that there is something inside us which can stay very quiet without any desire for to do anything. That is the our spiritual identity, isn't it? Soul is not demanding action. Where is the action coming from? Karma vasana, it is coming. Soul is not telling us 24 hours you have to be working like an ass. So soul never said us. Soul is not soul is always existing by its nature itself. That it is blissful and full of knowledge. It doesn't require anything from outside. That is the nature of the soul. So when our attention goes to the soul, that is what this staying quiet means. That's what staying quiet means. That that is staying inside the heart. He is present there. So, and when we give attention towards the soul and knowing that I am that, that is what is known as staying quiet. When we give attention to the soul inside and when we know that we are that, when we realize that, that is staying quiet. Then there will be no more action. Up to that point, action will carry on in this world. So, once you have known that, then after that, with this body, whatever actions you perform in this world, in your anubhava mandalam, it is not touching you. With the body, you may be doing various things, but because you have known the soul, you have known the soul, and you also realize that you are that, then whatever you do with the body will not have any impact on you. It won't create any karma vasana inside. It won't create any karma vasana inside. So, at the moment what is happening is, without doing anything, thinking that I am doing everything. It's the other way, isn't it? Without doing anything, we want to be recognized everywhere that I am doing everything. That is our present mood. So, sometimes you can see like this in simple examples. When there is a festival, or festival for, say, in the temple or elsewhere for temple festivals, when loads of prasadam has to be cooked and you require the help of a lot of people to do that. So, you will see sometimes some people won't do anything, but at the last minute they will get in and they'll make everybody has to know that they have done everything. And they'll act in such a way that they were the people who have done the whole cooking and the whole load was on their head. But they are busy with doing so many other things. These are sometimes the leaders are like that. They will be busy with, they're meant for higher purpose. They're not meant for doing anything lower. So what it means is that they'll come at the very last minute. Then they'll act in such a way that they're very tired after doing so much service. In other words, and they're completely they're not done anything actually. They just came at that point, but they'll take up everything. This is the nature of false ego. This is a false ego's another nature. So they will take up the ownership of everything and they'll give you an impression that they have done everything. But on the other hand, after doing everything, if I have not done, if you feel inside I have not done anything, that is Naishkarma Siddhi. You see, it's just the opposite thing. They have done everything, but inside no feeling I have done anything. In that way, able to stay. That is Naishkarma Siddhi. That's what Krishna is talking about in that verse. Naishkarma Siddhi is the technical word for that verse. Na karmanam anarambhan naishkarmyam purushasnute naishkarma siddhi nacha sanyasanad eva siddhim samadhi gacchadi. Siddhim samadhi gacchadi. That means naishkarma, this is an important word, this word naishkarma siddhi. There is a book itself on this naishkarma siddhi. And that naishkarma siddhi will talk about this, what's happening in the naishkarma stage. Nishkama karmam. Naishkarma siddhi is nishkama karmam. That doing everything but it's not touching inside, able to do things like that. That is naishkarma siddhi. Everything is happening in this world in the normal way, but inside I'm doing this is not happening. I'm doing this is not, that bhavam, that mood is not happening inside the person. So, I don't come up inside. at any time. You'll do everything what's necessary for the world. So that's why that's you have to say in that way, you are that stage. That stage is what you are. Nashkarma Siddhi state. You may ask, somebody ask you your name, you may say, I'm Krishna, I'm Rama, I'm Shiva, whatever that is. But if you say a name for that, it is limited again there. Because your nature is that Nashkarma Siddhi stage. That's what you are in that stage. So as I mentioned before, that it's a state where realization happens. That body is doing everything, I have nothing to do with it. In that state, one is able to continue with one's own karma. And that can only be, cannot be explained very much, because it's something you have to experience yourself by living that life and functioning in that way. So when that experience comes, only then it can be understood. Otherwise, it's not possible. Just like the example gave about the scorpion biting. For the jnani, when the scorpion is, jnanis are like that in that state. They say, we can't cry because, like the thief who was bitten by the scorpion. Thief says, I can't cry because I'll be caught by police. But I cannot stop crying. I have to cry because the realization is telling me the truth. I got the truth realized. So in that state, in other words. So so this realization, what Krishna is talking about, this Naishkarma Siddhi, that come through Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga is the principle behind that, this Naishkarma Siddhi. So, and the same thing, if you think about that, it is the same thing what Krishna called as Brahmi Sthiti in the last chapter. It's not different. The names may be different. He uses different titles at different places. Sthiti Prajnatum, Brahmi Sthiti, Naishkarma Siddhi. These are all different words, that's all. But the state of consciousness in all this is the same. That's why when we study Bhagavad Gita, as I mentioned many times before, that these terms or this technicalities is not the important thing we should be looking for. And then to argue each other about, oh, it says like this and that's called Naishkarma Siddhi, that's not Siddha Prajnatum. No. The consciousness that is controlling all these different states is one and the same. It's one and the same. So Brahmi Siddhi. And Krishna said before that if Brahmi Siddhi is experienced even for some time in life, at the time of death, it will come to your rescue. It will come to your rescue. And if it becomes continuous throughout life as Brahmi Siddhi, then it has no touch of karmam anymore. Karmam has no more touch of that. If you are in that Brahmi Siddhi operating here. And that stage is called Naishkarma Siddhi. Naishkarma Siddhi or Naishkarma Siddhi. In that state, experience, there is no I am the doer or I am the enjoyer. Both doesn't exist at that stage. It is complete. And once we have seen that completeness inside us, once we have experienced that completeness inside us, even if the body or the mind is imperfect or incomplete, it will not affect us. It will not affect us. Do you know what I am saying? That means, if that perfection or completeness is experienced in the spiritual platform, what we are as spirit soul, even if we are performing activities in this state of Naishkarma Siddhi or Naishkarma Siddhi, even though you may be performing action, your actions may not be complete. Your body may not be able to complete it. Your mind may not be able to complete it. But it will not disturb your spiritual consciousness. This is important. Because sometimes we think when we are executing karmam, that karmam, our conception of completion of that karmam is one thing. Krishna's conception of completion of karmam is different thing. You see? we consider a karma is complete if we see the results have come in the way we want it. That's when we say a karma is complete. Oh, I've done that. I'm done dusted, we say, isn't it? So that's our conception of karma. Krishna's conception of karma is like this, that if you have done that, no matter what the results have come about, doesn't matter. If you have done that karma without any thought of I am the doer or expectation of results, then you have done that complete. Your karma is complete. So, completion of karma, you have to look at it from Krishna's point of view, not from our point of view. Our point of view, it's complete when the results have come according to our calculations. From Krishna's point of view, if you have executed a karma where you have done that without any identification as I am the doer or without any expectation of any results from that, then Naishkarma Siddhi or Brahmi Siddhi. That's what it means. So, if you have seen that Purnada, Purnada means that perfection inside you, even if your body has not completed the karma completely, even if your mind has not been able to do it with the way it should have been done by the desire of the others who are around you or by the society or whatever, it doesn't matter. As far as Krishna is concerned, it doesn't matter. It won't touch you. That karma won't touch you. So, keeping the mind and the body separately, keeping the mind and the body together, if we want to do anything perfectly in this world, that's not possible. That's the important point. You see, every karma, when we perform, how do we perform karma? With the body and the senses and the mind, isn't it? That's our tools, what we have. We have karmendriyam, we have the body and the mind behind it. These are the tools for performing karma. Jnanendriyam, karmendriyam, both involved in that, isn't it? So, what Krishna is saying here is that if you are looking for perfection in this world of karma, if you are looking for perfection with the body and the mind together, it is not going to happen. That is another important point. Because karma for us is what? Body and the mind. And we are looking for results based on that. And you will see every single karma, if you look at it, you will see it's never complete. Because we have associated the body and the mind with that. Whereas if you keep the mind and the body separately, and inside that Naishkarma Siddhi, or executing the action without the doership and without expectation of results, if you executed that karma, Krishna says, is perfect. And it's completed properly. It won't. Some people they say like this at the time of death. For example, this is a mundane discussion. Mundane topics. How people see things in different level. They say, all my life I worked for the family. I couldn't provide them everything what they wanted. All these kind of topics are discussed in this world, isn't it? Among the people who are laugiyas. And they also have this concept that they are providing for them and they are maintaining them. All this illusion in the head. And they live like that in this world. And sometimes at the time of death, I could not complete this, I could not complete that project, this project. If I could have done that, it would have been very nice. All sorts of ideas. But Krishna's point of view, that is your imperfection inside. What is causing this problem? Perfection is that at every moment, whatever we are doing in this world, it has to be complete. And that completion is only possible through this consciousness of Naishkarma Siddhi. That's what Krishna is saying there. No, Naishkarma Siddhi is such an important thing that you cannot find any perfection in this world with the body and the mind together. No perfection is possible. And one who is inquiring for perfection in the bodily platform or the mental platform in this world is something like inquiring for hot ice cream. It's something like that. Such a thing is difficult, isn't it, to find. So, but people say there is hot ice cream nowadays. That's also available, it seems. Because in this world, perfection is not possible on the bodily level or on the mental platform. It is not possible. They are not created like that. That is the difference. This will come and this will go. And in the world, you cannot have that perfection anytime. in the platform of the body, perfection is never possible, because at some point in time, it will go, it will lose. You can see sometimes people in politics, you can particularly see this, they'll make a lot of promises that we'll do this, we'll do this for you, if you elect us, we'll do this for you. And they fool around people like this, and people are studying what they have, he has said, what somebody else has said, like this. But what they don't understand is that their own time is limited, and the so-called perfection, what they're looking for, they also know it will never happen. But at the time of election, they make these promises, isn't it, to get the votes. So whatever it is, that in the bodily level, it is not possible. But what is possible is Naishkarmyam. But Naishkarmyasthiti is only possible in the platform of soul. In the platform of the soul. Soul means in one's own personal identity. In that platform, you can reach perfection. In other platforms, you can never reach perfection. So na karmanam anarambha, Krishna says there, isn't it? If you look at that verse carefully, you'll see there. Na karmanam anarambham, naishkarmyam purushosnude. Krishna is saying like that. Na karmanam anarambham, naishkarmyam purushosnude. Because one person is not doing karmam, he is not reached that state. Suppose somebody don't do that karmam, he is not going to reach that state of naishkarmyasthiti. And if you have not started the karmam, where is the question of naishkarmyasthiti? Naishkarmyasthiti will not happen. That's why he says here, na karmanam anarambha naishkarmyam purushosnute. Then, naja sanyasanad eva siddhim samadhi gacchati. I am not doing any karma. Saying that, if a person leave everything and walk away from there, he is neither going to become perfect. Krishna is saying that. Because if you remember, I mentioned this earlier, that jnana margam has to come through realization. Realization means that from your experience in this world, by your own analysis inside, it has to come in a natural way from inside, that all this karma is only going to cause problems and you are able to refrain from that. Then the chances of falling back into this world of karma is very little, very rare. But even then there is danger. Still there is danger. Mind can go anytime in that direction. But otherwise, by reading this and Naishkarmyasthiti, I heard about Naishkarmyasthiti, so I'm not going to do any more karma in that way. So if you move in that direction, nobody is going to become perfect in that way. This statement itself, all you have to do, you have to go into the modern spiritual world and find what's happening there. You can find all these things happening there also. That many, many people, they have been inquiring about the truth and they could not find it, and they are still wandering around. They have given up everything externally, but still inside there is no satisfaction inside. Externally they have given up everything, but inside there is no satisfaction. Because before you give up external things, internally that should be strong, that realization. Otherwise you have given up this, you are not got that, you will be stuck there in that situation. There are so many people like that, because giving up externally is not the process. It's not the process. You can give up everything externally, but you won't get anything. Naja satya sanana deva siddhim samadhi gacchadi. Naja sanyasana deva siddhim samadhi gacchadi. Sanyasam means, Krishna is saying here, just by taking sanyasam, nobody is going to become perfect. By taking sannyasam externally, what is actual sannyasam? Sannyasam, the proper definition is jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. That knowledge, if that has realized inside, then he is a sannyasi. Then nothing will happen. Or experience of the soul. One who has known himself, who he is, who his own proper identity, he is a sannyasi. One who has known his own proper identity is a sannyasi. If you look all the famous saints in Maharashtra, you can see this. Janeshwar, Namadev, Tukaram, and many others, Ekanath, all of them have been not sannyasis, but they were all had this realization inside. At one point in time, all of them, what has happened to them was that none of them actually gave up externally anything. Externally, they didn't give up anything. But at one stage, they could not execute karmam anymore. In other words, karmam left them and went away from them. They on their own did not leave karmam. You look into Tukaram's life, he was a businessman. Vaishya he was, isn't it? And he did business. But at one point, he could not do business anymore. Karmam left him. Janeshwar, same thing, at a very early age in life. Same thing with Ekanath Swami also. He was a grihastha, householder. Everything he did as a householder, and he was a jnani, he was a realized soul. So, he was a sannyasi in other words. He was doing everything, but lot of people like that, yeti, they are called yeti. So, jnanam inside is actual indication of the sannyasam. Inside jnanam, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. So, once you have realized the truth inside, that he will not mix his mind, body, intelligence and all that thing with the soul. He will not mix it up anymore. He will leave them to itself. Let that carry on doing its own things in this world. But always situated within the self. there the sannyasam is complete. But on your own endeavor, you don't have to give up anything. Once we simply know what we are, our proper identity, automatically everything has been left out. Everything will be, everything will leave us in a natural way. Simply by realizing the truth, what we are, automatically body, mind, senses, and the gross intelligence, everything will automatically withdraw itself and our experience will come. But in order to that happen, what do we have to do? We have to think that nothing belongs to us in this world. Only question of giving up is that only when you possess something, isn't it? In the olden days, when people went on pilgrimage, those who followed the acharam, those who followed the rules properly, if you see how they went on pilgrimage, it was real pleasure to think about it even today. When we go on pilgrimage, we won't take it further than that. You know what I'm saying. When our going on pilgrimage, and they went on pilgrimage, what did they do? That they won't carry anything with them. They will take very little few things, perhaps some atta or something like that. So that somewhere they look for fire and cook some simple things and eat. In that way, they did. Then, but because they did not want to eat outside, because if the proper facilities, food, you have to eat some food, isn't it? While going on pilgrimage also, you have to eat. So they'll go with the very minimum, and only the very essential thing they will take with them. And they walked all the way, and they bathed in the tanks and places where everybody else has bathed. And they rested in some chaudhries or some temples, wherever they could find some, they can put their head down. So like this, they went on pilgrimage. If you see our pilgrimage today, I don't know what to say about that. Some people are saying that even tourist class is not good enough for them. They need to go, their pilgrimage is in the first class in the aeroplane. And they call that as pilgrimage. So, these people, they will have, those who are going on in the olden days, when they went on pilgrimage, they had their own daily routine things. I mean, daily deity worship and things like that. So, so what they'll do, they won't carry the deity with them. Sometimes it may be difficult to carry the deity also. So they'll carry such things like jaggery and things like that. And they will make the offering without the deity. So, eventually, sometimes they make the deity with the jaggery or some sweets like that. They will make the deity. And they'll make the offering also with the same thing and offer it to the deity, and eventually everything will go inside. So similarly, you are giving to Krishna what Krishna has given to us, isn't it? Everything is Krishna's property. So strictly speaking, there is nothing to give up also in this world. Only when we think something is ours, only then the question of giving up comes at that time. So this knowledge is that nothing belongs to you. That is a very basic knowledge. Jnanam is that. Jnanam is this, that nothing belongs to us. Sharanagati, Saranda. Sharanagati means what? Ultimately, when you start analyzing, you see there that who am I? When you keep on analyzing this, actually I don't exist. At that time, I don't exist, only Krishna exists. So naturally, Sharanagati will bring that peace with inside. If you keep on saying, I am surrendering to Krishna, I am surrendering to Krishna, I am surrendering to Krishna, if you keep on saying like that, Sharanagati will never happen. It will never happen. When you keep saying like that. Because emotional surrender you may do, but it will not be actual surrender. It will be an emotional surrender. That temporarily you may feel, I am surrendering to Krishna, I am surrendering to Krishna, but actual surrender won't happen at that time. When does actual surrender happens? Actual surrender happens when you keep on inquiring who you are. Eventually you realize this, that I am not this false ego, what I have been thinking as I am. Only Krishna is existing. That is proper surrender. That's proper surrender. Emotional surrender, all emotions are like that. If you look at any emotions, emotions will come and excite you for some time and it will go. Isn't it? But in the proper knowledge is there, or Krishna talks about Shandim, Siddhim. Shandi is the word Krishna uses for that state. That in the state of Shandi, it is steady. It's no more fluctuations, or there is no more peaks and troughs, in other words. That is the state, proper state. So in that state, Krishna says here that you have already come to that platform where total peace inside, experienced by complete reduction of false ego inside, and you have seen that only Krishna exists in this world. That realization has come. So by giving up externally, sannyasa won't happen. Who is giving up inside? Therefore, Mahabali's story in the Bhagavadam is to teach this to us. You remember? In the 8th canto, Mahabali's famous story. Story is all interesting, but there is strong messages coming through the story. That's more important. What he said was that 2 feet of 2 feet of land he gave it to Krishna, isn't it? Vamanamurti begged for 3 feet of land, and Mahabali gave 2 feet of land. And Krishna kept on insisting, it's not enough, I need the 3rd feet of land, which you have promised me, he says. So at that time, Krishna's point is, whatever you are giving to me is not yours, it's mine, what you are holding on to, and you are giving it back to me. Up to that point, Mahabali was thinking it was his. So in order that Mahabali to realize that nothing is Mahabali's property, Krishna wanted to teach that through that 3rd feet. The measurement of that 3rd feet is only to prove to Mahabali that so far, up to this 1st and 2nd feet, you thought you are giving in to me, didn't you? Now where is the 3rd feet? Only then Mahabali realized that even this 1st foot and 2nd foot, whose is this? It was not mine. That is why Mahabali's Atmanivedanam is a very important step in the spiritual life. Mahabali is the one who has been given the highest benediction in the Srimad Bhagavatam, more than anyone else. Only to Mahabali Krishna said, I'll come and stand at your doorstep as a watchman till you go back to the spiritual world. In Sudalam, that is what that's the benediction what Krishna has given to Mahabali, isn't it? So Krishna's question was, Mahabali offered everything. At that time, Krishna's question was, is that yours that you're offering to me? You have nothing in this world. Krishna wanted to prove that to Mahabali. That's why that 3rd feet, the 3rd measurement of the 3rd feet is to prove to Mahabali that you have nothing in this world. Even the 2 feet you have offered, that belongs to me. So, so at that time, what did Mahabali do? Mahabali offered himself. What did he offer? His own false ego, in other words. So that surrender, that point when Mahabali realized that he has nothing to give. All he has got is this false ego inside. I am the proprietor of this whole planetary systems, and Mahabali owned the whole three planetary systems, isn't it? According to he defeated Indra and took control of the heavenly planets and the middle planetary system. All the three planets in the universe, planetary systems, Mahabali was in charge. He was thinking like that. So Krishna wanted to prove that after measurement of these 2 feet, there is nothing that you own in this world. That's why ask this question, are you separate from me? From Krishna's point, it was that there is only one thing that we can offer to Krishna, strictly speaking, that is this false ego, what we have got with us. That's the only thing what you can offer to Krishna. That's the point Krishna is making through this Mahabali story, isn't it? Shukracharya advised Mahabali, don't give. But Mahabali's good fortune that he was able to come to this state. And therefore, Mahabali's surrender is Sharanagati. Proper. So among the 9 processes of Krishna consciousness, devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnosmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam. These 8 ones is called Angam. But the 9th one, only by Krishna's grace it will happen. When Krishna comes and does it to you, it will happen. Atmanivedanam. You can keep on talking about it. I'll surrender. It's all just words. Nothing more than that. That will only happen when Krishna comes and takes it away from you. He swallows you completely. In other words, that false ego inside goes towards Krishna and goes away completely. Krishna takes that false ego from inside and releases you from your identity as a false ego, as Jiva. Jiva Handa has completely gone. And at that time, only what is left is Shuddha Prajna, pure consciousness. When that is clear, sannyasam will come, natural way inside. You don't have to change the color of the clothes at that time. It's not necessary. Or you don't have to change the name to some Saraswati or Bharati or whatever that is. Actually, these are more important things. You mustn't think that, often we get stuck in the institution. We get stuck in all these kind of traditions. They are not the important things. These things have happened during the course of history. Some sampradayam was created by the acharyas to help people. But if you get stuck in that process, then you won't get to the message properly. So, and everybody will not become a sannyasi in this world in that proper way. It's not going to happen. Whichever situation we are in and whatever activities we are engaged in, in that state, we should be able to cultivate this spiritual realization. And we should be able to carry out our vyavaharam also in the same way. And there are many, many examples for this in this very world. There are many examples who have lived a life like this. Not that everybody came and took sannyas and told the world that I have become a sannyasi. This is not tradition is not like that. Acharyas have created this system. Because in them days, every acharya felt the need to establish their traditions. They have created a system in this world. But that doesn't mean that self-realization is not important. It was all created for the purpose of self-realization, if it helps anybody. Some people took to it, some people... There are many people who are outside this sampradayam, outside this parampara, outside this tradition. They have self-realized themselves. Why? Because they got the message properly, right in there. Understanding. So here there are so many examples that there was one mother, she lived in Tanjore in Tamil Nadu, Janaki, Mother Janaki she was called. This Mother Janaki, at a very early age in life, because of Purvavasana from previous, there are so many examples, there's only one or two mentioning here, that from a very early age in life she has this nature, that she had these realizations. At a very early age, as a little girl, she had this realization. Even when she was a little girl, when somebody comes and asks for food, whatever that was in the kitchen, she will take it and go and give it to them. That was her very nature, was like that. Sometimes beggars come and she'll give it to them. So one day, it so happened, some Shraddha ceremony was going on at home. So everybody told her that don't give anything food. It has been cooked for the after the Shraddha ceremony. Whatever that is there, you can give it to them. But so actually the parents were happy that the child was like that, that giving nature to others. So that was their happiness. So actually if the parents don't train the children in that way, it won't. The children will also become greedy later on in life. That giving nature won't happen to them. So that's why I say here that so although children were, she was instructed like that, somebody by chance came at that time saying that he's feeling hungry, came to the house. So at that time, this little girl took everything what was kept inside and brought it out and gave it to him to have that food. So at that time, this bhikshu, this person who has come for begging, he told the child to open the mouth, and on the tongue he wrote something. On the tongue he wrote something. From that day onwards, and the child has become totally spiritual and started getting different experiences in life. Very early age in life, she started experiencing different siddhis. And by 10 years old, many, many experiences like that and realization started coming to the child. So that little girl, her elder sister, was married to a doctor. And this elder sister died. After marriage, in a few years, she died. So the system in those days was they married the younger sister. So this little girl even didn't know what marriage is at that time, because the marriage happened at such an early age. But anyway, according to that system at that time, he married her. So for her, the problem was that she got married, she has to live a married life. On the other hand, inside, unable to live in this world because of self-realization inside. So much advanced in the spiritual path that she was finding difficult to execute the grahasthashrama. It can happen, all these things can happen in life. That absolutely, the husband on the other hand had no interest in spiritual life, dhyalpiyam, or a taste for that. He had no interest, no taste for that. So after the marriage, it has become a conflict inside. This is how conflict develops inside. On the one hand, you know that is something is right, and that's the way you want to go in life. You have absolutely no desire in this world. You have realized some truth from Shastram, or due to some association with some Mahatma, some realization has happened in life, that this is what satisfies you, in other words. Some fulfillment you are getting from there, from spiritual life. When you are getting that fulfillment, you have to adjust your life with someone who has no interest at all whatsoever, and who lives a life according to the normal norms of this world. Then that compatibility is not there. It will be very difficult to execute that life. So, very difficult. And in that case, what to say to such a person? In those days, you couldn't even tell them, give up everything and walk out, because that was not... today you could say that, isn't it? Oh, you don't like it, leave it. That's the answer today, isn't it? Walk out from there, from the marriage. So that system didn't exist those days. Whatever problems were there, they'll still somehow adjust in life and carry on with the household life. So this doctor... I'm just saying how Krishna's arrangement happens in that situation. This doctor who married this girl in that Janaki, eventually he got a transfer to Tirunamalai at that time, where there is this Ravana Maharshi's ashram and everything. So it so happened, there's this famous temple we saw there, Arunachalishwara temple, Lord Shiva's famous huge temple there. Though when they got the transfer there, they will go to the temple because husbands will follow the wife. She makes her happy, let him go. That is the mood he was going to this temple. He was going to the temple to Arunachalishwara. That is the Shiva is called Arunachalishwara there. In that temple, one day the pujari there, because in those days not so many people, asked him this question, have you come to see Ravana Maharshi here? He hasn't even heard about Ravana Maharshi, this doctor. They asked him casually like that. As soon as this girl heard the name, immediately it was excited inside. He wanted to see him. She wanted to see him. She has the name, as soon as it came to her, the realization came to her, the necessity to go and see. And she tells her husband that, please take me there somehow, let me go and see him. So they together goes to the ashram, and as soon as she saw Ramana Maharshi understood, this is a jiva who is matured in spiritual life. Husband, he saw that he is on a completely different plane and they have to live together. And jnanis have got this capacity. As soon as they see a person, they will know the problems inside, what suffering the person is going through. He was able to find out that. So she will come and sit there and look at Ramana Maharshi like this and observe things from him. So she understood that some guidance has to come from him, what I should do in my life now. On the one hand, the spiritual life is strongly pulling her in one direction. On the other hand, completely absorbed in this family life, entangled with this whole thing. So what she used to do was, she continued her household life, prepare food, everything for the husband. And once the husband has gone to the hospital, she will go to the ashram to see Ramana Maharshi. And in the evening, when he comes back, he will pick her up and bring her home. So she will sit there whole day, listening to him if he speaks, or observing him all this time. So, and she wanted to ask this question, what she should do in life. She has come to that stage now. But publicly to ask in front of so many people, it was difficult for her. Because people will think that she wants to break the law of the society. But what I'm saying is that when spiritual life becomes strong inside, none of these things in this world matters anymore. It does not come on your way anymore. So she has, in Ramashi's case, there was no privacy. 24 hours it's open all the time. Even in the night time, while he sleeps, he will leave the doors open, because he always used to think, if somebody comes to talk, wants to see, he is ready to talk to her. Even at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's ready to talk. So there's no question of closing the doors. So so one day, it so happened that she wants to mention this to him, that the situation is like this inside, I'm going through this big conflict. On the one hand, my husband, my family life, what is expected from me as a householder, that's bothering me. On the other hand, this strong pull towards the spiritual realization. So one day, she told the attendant who was going with Ramana Maharshi that he wants to bring this issue up privately with him. So attendant says to her that when he goes on walking around this hill, Arunachala Hill, he went on a parikrama every day, lasting few hours. After a while, when we are walking, I will pull back, I'll stay back. You can go, you can follow us. And when I pull back, you can go and ask him about this. Whatever you want to ask, the attendant said like that. So it's a very rare opportunity she got like that. She went after him in a particular place. As he agreed each other, he pulled back. So inside, very strong desire for spiritual realization or self-realization. And outside, this grihastha ashramam, unable to give up. What to do about that? Can't even think about that. So Maharshi says to him, it's a very difficult situation. When Maharshi was mentioned about this, I am unable to handle it, she says to him. So Maharshi says to him, Janaki, your situation, I understand. I understand your situation. For husband is concerned, for him, what is adhyatmam or spiritual life is unknown to him. And it is impossible to make him understand either, because its vasanas are like that. I cannot continue with this harem inside this world. What shall I do? Please give me a clear answer. This was a request to him. It was at that time Maharshi says to him that, you are making that progress in spiritual life, but unless you come to this point that anyone you are caught up in this world, see that person also part of Krishna and start dealing with him in that way, then this conflict will go away from inside. Conflict has come, why? Because you have seen that Krishna is existing separately from all the other living entities. But once you recognize even the husband who is not in line with your thinking, if you can see that person also as Krishna's another expansion in that body, present in that body, and deal with him and started treating him in that way, then give the material body to the world. Material body to the world, because it belongs to material nature, isn't it? Soul belongs to Krishna. So, if you take that approach and trying to bring the body into the spiritual life, to adhyatmam, if you try to bring the body into the spiritual life, then you have to, and taking shelter of Krishna means taking shelter of the soul inside. Krishna is meant for taking shelter, and body is meant for material world, material nature. If you do business with the soul, then it will all become very complicated. It will become very complicated. Anything what you are taking shelter should be a permanent thing. Should be a permanent thing. If what you are doing transactions in this world, if that is temporary, it doesn't matter. There is no problem. Everything what you do transactions in this world, if that is temporary, that's not a problem. But if the thing what you are taking shelter, if that is temporary, and the thing what you are doing transaction, if that is permanent, it will cause problems. It will cause problems. We'll discuss it tomorrow. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.